I'm living proof that love wins. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever in the world you are. Welcome back to another episode of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. Now, if you are new to this platform, welcome. I'm so glad you made it here. You're probably watching this because you are a parent of a teenager who is dealing with some stuff, as we all are have been for the last few years. But, you know, this next generation is built a little bit differently. So I recognize that as a youth empowerment through songwriting coach, we need to be helping our young people in a few different ways, unconventional ways, not normal ways, because the normal way has probably been broken. So as a youth empowerment through songwriting coach, I recognize that there's a number of different approaches that we can use to helping our young people thrive, be happy, healthy again. So I decided, why not reach out to some other unconventional, left of center, different therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, specialists, youth workers, and beyond about their unique approaches to how they also serve and help our young people. Today, I'm honored and privileged to be joined all the way from the other side of the country in Washington State. Dr. Katie, how are you today?
Doing well and really excited to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. And I apologize. It's Dr. Katie Williams of the Dr. Williams podcast. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your life and how you got to get into the youth empowerment space.
Well, it's professionally, I have 3 years experience working with children in a therapeutic setting. It was a difficult job for me. It was really rewarding. Having that connection with kids. Kids have always had kind of a special place in my heart before I even became a mother. But there's a lot of trouble when it comes to the younger generation. And it's really hard being somebody who cares a lot about that and not being able to help in a way that really makes a big impact, you know, like a parent would, somebody that's around the child all the time. So I really did enjoy the work working with, I had teens and younger kids to help them with their mental health, but mostly it was about the relationship. And that's what I learned, that they just really wanted to have somebody there.
Yeah, no, I think that's such an important thing to point out. You know, I've been, you know, blessed to be working in the youth empowerment space for 10 years now. And one of the overarching concepts that I keep hearing from the young people that I've been working with over the last decade, whether it's in New Zealand where I'm from or here in the States, is that young people are just desperate to feel heard and feel validated and feel seen. In your capacity as a licensed therapist, how have you found that you support young people in feeling that validation?
You know, I don't currently work as a therapist. So it's been years since I've actually been in the mental health agency kind of realm.
Gotcha.
Yes. And my kids are younger. I have 7 and 5-year-olds. So I haven't moved into that space as a mother yet with a teenager, but I have been one. And my sister is actually 12 years younger than I am. So I also kind of posed as a second mom when she was going through her teenage years. It was kind of a unique sibling situation for us. But I'm not currently working with clients in that capacity. But I have come into knowing some things that are a little different than what I knew when I was working with clients. And if I were to do it again, I would do it differently. I wouldn't focus on the problems the way that we oftentimes do in therapy. And I think that the teenage years in particular would be a really good time to understand the universal law of attraction and their space in that, in creating their reality, because they're really stepping into this adulthood. I mean, you're in that transition period And what you know, what you believe, and what you want are huge in those few years where you're a teenager.
Mm.
And it really kind of molds how you step into adulthood.
I love that. I love that so much. And you're reminding me, I think it was a Wayne Dyer quote, which was something along the lines of, you know, focusing your energy and your awareness on the things that are positive in the world does not mean that the negative things don't exist. It's just that they pale in comparison, so that you're filled with the positive energy and positive emotions and positive feelings enough so that you can sort of start to methodically work on the issues with a full cup. So it's fascinating to me that you've moved from, because I think you're completely right. Like we often get so entrenched in the work we're doing that we can't necessarily see the forest for the trees. But when we take a step back and then reflect on, we can start to look into some better practices or some better approaches to our work. And now you've kind of shifted into the podcasting space with the Dr. Williams podcast. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I think that's a really beautifully different way to helping parents and teenagers alike when it comes to navigating our mental health.
Yeah, the podcast is really a blending of my life and my focus educationally and spiritually. I experienced my spiritual awakening, and that kind of just supported where I had been going. And I really didn't know. Like, I entered into my doctorate not knowing what I was going to do with it. Mm. And usually people kind of have an idea of, okay, I'm going to get my doctorate and this is going to be my career. But it didn't turn out that way for me. I ended up doing a podcast. And on the podcast, everything that I talk about is about living a more satisfying life. And I think that that is the key to mental health or mental wellness. I prefer to gear it toward wellness than health, just because there tends to be that stigma around that word of mental health. But mental wellness comes from how you're feeling. And that's where teenagers really kind of came into this for me when I came across your podcast. Because what is a teenager? It's a ball of emotion, right? Mm. There's so many emotions that a teenager is going through.
Yeah.
So even though on my podcast, I'm not specifically focusing on that population, everything I talk about is like daily life stuff where you can maybe think about things in a different way and find a different way to feel satisfied despite what's going on, which allows you to have that mental wellness.
I love that. And I'm curious, because I think a lot of parents that I've spoken to, when they bring their teenagers to me, they have a similar idea of like, I want my kid to feel excited again, or I want my kid to feel joy, or just energy, enthusiasm beyond the realm of TikTok dance challenges, right? Which is, there's nothing wrong with TikTok dance challenges, but let's be real, it's not real dancing, I'm just saying. But, when it comes to a parent's idea of what enthusiasm and joy look like compared to a teenager's idea of what that joy looks like, they often have very different approaches. How do you navigate that space when it comes to raising this healthy next generation?
Well, as I was listening to you speak, I had this thought come to me, and I rely heavily on intuition. And I started thinking why a parent would be upset about that, why they would feel like there's a problem. But really, kids in general are joyful. And so then in comparison, a teenager does not seem as joyful as what the parent was used to, right?
Right.
With their child. But what if it's just because that's the time period where they get to explore those other emotions, to understand them, and get a chance to decide which one they prefer? Because everything is a dichotomy, right? We have a duality with everything. And you really can't know what you want or what you like or prefer until you know the opposite of it.
Amen. I love that. You can't appreciate the light unless you have also experienced the dark.
Right.
I couldn't agree more. I want to sort of dive deeper into a word you used, which is explore. I think there, especially, you know, amidst the mental health pandemic or struggle crisis that we've been going through for the past, you know, for almost 4 years, there's been a strong emphasis on kind of trying to numb the hard and difficult subjects, or try to ignore the hard and difficult subjects. Not to say that that's the healthy thing to do, obviously, but, you know, to really kind of avoid it and cover over it with smiles and you know, everything's fine. Can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts on how we can balance that dichotomy between recognizing the trauma that we have all survived and also leaning into the joy of waking up?
Well, with everything, universal law of attraction does not judge. It gives you what you are a beacon for. And what you focus on and how you feel and think about whatever it is you're focusing on is what you get more of.
Mm.
So this may come as a bit of a surprise, but I often support that head in the sand kind of approach, putting a smiley face on it, because you get more of what you're looking at. And if what you're looking at is not what you want, then that's not helpful.
Mm.
But it is helpful in that it provides clarity, because now you know what you don't want, which if you recognize it and say, this sucks, I don't like this, then you automatically know what you do like and what you do want. And that's the point where you pivot and you focus on that instead. So yes, the pandemic created a lot of hardship, and it still is. It's not completely erased. But do you want that hardship, or do you want the relief of it? Because if you were in therapy with me and that was the focus of our session, I wouldn't allow too much conversation to get going about why you feel the way you feel about that hardship. That is going to have a vibrational frequency that comes with it, which allows you to be that beacon of that frequency. And now you are attracting more, which allows for that frequency to stay active in your reality. That isn't helpful to you. You don't want that. So we have to then go, okay, we already know what you don't like and what you don't want. So we need to shift focus now. And we need to look at the opposite of that. How does it look if it's the way you would design it to be? And why do you want it to be that way? And then I would actually promote you feeling the feelings associated with that reality being what you're living. And that is what gets you into a higher frequency of attraction, so that your reality becomes that. Now, I realize the pandemic is global, right? It's widespread. But all that really matters is how you experience it, not how everybody else does. So that is where we would focus. And really, that's if you do that person to person to person, eventually that becomes a collective consciousness. And that's where we see widespread change.
I want to piggyback off of that a little bit, because I think a lot of the, you know, a lot of the, I agree, you can only control what you can control, and what you can control is yourself, and what you can control is how you react and respond to every situation. But let's say, let's play devil's advocate and talk about, you know, our responsibility as humans to be empathetic to our fellow neighbor, for example. How can we, as, you know, as somebody who is trying to navigate our own in the shoes of a teenager, of a teenager who is trying to navigate their own thoughts and ideas and processes around their own mental wellness, if they're also struggling with their friends who are also struggling, how can we best serve them to serve themselves and then their fellow friend?
Yeah. Well, I think awareness is key. And understanding what emotions mean probably would help a lot. Because we don't really discuss that with our teenagers, right? We talk about the way they're feeling and we talk about why they're feeling that way. But do they know what that means spiritually? And I don't know what your beliefs are. I'm just going to come out and tell you what I believe in that.
Go ahead. Okay.
That we all are spiritual beings and we have a divine light. And if our teenagers were to know that your emotion is communication with your higher self, leading you, it's a guide, then wouldn't that change everything about how you are receiving that emotion?
I love that. One of the things that I really like to focus on when it comes to emotion is that emotion is simply energy in motion, right? And so it's our jobs to be able, as humans that are feeling the emotions, to sort of direct what motion we put those emotions into or that energy into, right? Which is where I come, you know, which is where I bring cognitive reframe into lyric writing, for example, taking those disempowering thoughts and feelings and ideas and turning them into a more positive direction, redirecting that energy into a different, more productive motion or direction. But I think you're completely on the nose as, you know, being able to step outside and recognize the spiritual aspect of that, I think is really, really important. I am curious, however, how you have found teenagers respond when you bring in the spiritual aspect and the law of attraction aspect to the coaching that you do, or to the, you know, even to the rhetoric you talk about on your podcast. How are the younger people responding to that? Because I feel like they're probably more receptive, right, than their parents, generally speaking.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with that. I'm thinking of one teen in particular, and he kind of leaned more toward, what did he call it? Shoot, I can't remember his form of study, but it was his spiritual following, and it had more to do with mystical views. And he lit up when talking about that, and he lit up with me talking about it, because at home it wasn't something he was supported with. You know, his parents kind of pushed it off, like, okay, whatever, you're into tarot cards, you know, you'll get over this.
Right.
And yet for him it was something deeper than that. There was a belief there, and there was something that he really felt like he wanted to connect with something more. So just, I mean, teenagers are just people. They're like adults too, in that different people have different beliefs. And we usually take on some of our childhood influence with us, whether that's religion or spirituality, but beliefs are formed when we're young in childhood. So I can't generalize, I don't think. I do believe that the younger generations are energetically more accepting of law of attraction and the ideas around this in a spiritual nature, just because that's the way evolution works. But I don't believe in only getting one life. I believe that when we transition back into non-physical, we have the choice to come back. And that's kind of this evolving thing, that spirits are evolving as time goes on. And so newer generations are further evolved than the other generations. And you start to see those changes in our societies and in our world as things change. And you see where we have taken it. And really, they're living all that we have put into that evolution. They become it, and they come in, and they're more receptive and open to it because we created it that way.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to know, when you're working with or discussing spiritual practices with parents compared to their teenagers, especially when there is a disagreement or misalignment of practices or belief practices, how do you navigate that as a coach to create a kind of, agree to disagree or an even playing field between parent and child as we're trying, you know, because every parent, realistically speaking, their job is to create a better version of themselves, a healthier version of themselves. And, you know, eventually they need to also take their, cut the purse strings a little bit and let their kids be kids, be their own individual selves. How do you navigate that as somebody who's supporting that process?
So I am usually sensitive to what somebody believes. Mm-hmm. So I'm just speaking about my beliefs because you've given me this platform to do so.
Sure.
But if I was in a session with somebody, I would discuss that with them and I would use the kind of verbiage that they prefer. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to impose anything on anybody. I believe that everybody is exactly where they are meant to be and they are finding their way. Mm-hmm. I believe in empowerment and I am not going to be able to teach you to do something better than you believe yourself to be able to do something. If you're asking me, I will tell you what I think or I believe if you want to know. But mostly I am just going to offer suggestions about what I think would be helpful, but I don't mm-hmm. have to make it spiritually based. We could talk about it in a different way. I could just talk about how emotions are connected with that which you want. We don't even have to talk about law of attraction, but I could just say, well, what if when you're feeling bad, that just means you're not aligned with what you want. And when you're feeling good, that means you are aligned with what you want. And depending on how you're feeling at any given moment, that's your guidance on maybe to try a different thought.
Yeah.
And see how you feel now.
You're reminding me, you're giving me like very Abraham Hicks vibes and I'm here for it. I love it so much.
Abe is my man.
Listen.
Consciousness.
You have a quote that I kind of fell in love with. Which is the key to getting everything we want in life is to care about how we feel and choose things which allow us to do that as much as possible. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that means to you and how you stumbled across that truth?
Well, when you care about the way you feel and you prioritize that, what you find is that everything you want comes to you because that is your attraction. You are that beacon of joy and happiness and passion and appreciation. And the universe says, here's more, here's more, here's more. And you literally live a life by design, personally designed in the way that you would have it, just by feeling joy. That's all you have to do. This isn't complicated. This is finding what works for you to feel satisfied in this moment of now, because that's the only time we really have. And that allows you to attract more things that are going to make you feel that way. So that's the key.
I love that. I've got maybe like one more kind of quirky question for you. And that is, I'm curious because I feel as if there's still a lot of stigma around the area of psychiatry and psychology. And there is definitely a lot of stigma around spiritual practices, especially when there are so many different ways to approach spirituality. And a lot of those belief practices are at war with each other, quite literally, at the moment, unfortunately. How do you balance and navigate your work as both psychologist and spiritual practitioner?
Yeah, you're touching on something that was at the core of my own struggle with the podcast, because when I decided to do it, I had to step into a space of courage and confidence that I was going to be different and there's going to be people in the field that don't agree with how I'm doing things. And I just have to be okay with that because my feeling inside is so strong that I couldn't not do it. And I struggled for a little bit and I even wondered, should I not call the podcast, Dr. Williams podcast, because people come to it thinking this is a psychologist, likely talking about psychology. And yet what I really talk about most of the time is more spiritual. But I fell in love with psychology because I took a class as an elective and I fell in love with the idea of understanding human nature. And that journey led me through years and years and years of study on that. Simultaneously, I got an idea to read the Bible, read the whole thing, and then wanted more information, which led me to spiritual truths. And the podcast and me really marry those two together because that's what I've lived. I've been the education and I've been the awakening, and I see how they come together. Whether other people do or not is up to them. But I'm just here to speak my journey.
What's your hope for, you know, the impact that you're leaving in this world on the people that work with you, that, you know, work under you, that listen to the podcast? What's keeping you inspired to continue your work? Because it's very unconventional. You know, people don't think of, you know, psychiatry and spiritual practices as being two things that can coexist healthily.
Yeah, and it really does depend on the person. Are they really science-based or are they open? And I have a love-hate relationship with science because I have studied it most of my adult life and really felt myself enveloped in science. But I feel like there's some limit there. Science only allows us to understand things from an earthly perspective, but we are not earthly beings. So really, to understand humans, I had to extend that. I had to understand more. I had to go into the spiritual realm in order for me to understand people, to understand you, who you really are, not just the way your mind works or not just the way our society works, but to bring you together as kind of a wholesome, you know, full entity. I'm sorry, I don't know if I answered your question.
No, that's a beautiful answer.
Okay.
But it's leading me to kind of think about, you know, we have a lot of, you know, young people in the world who are raised to not think of themselves as whole human beings. And goodness knows we, you know, a lot of people don't treat them as whole ass humans who can think for themselves and make decisions for themselves. Is there, like, do you have any tips for parents to help them sort of navigate that scope or that landscape rather, in a way that gives their kids autonomy and kind of ownership over their spiritual journey and just life journey in general?
I think acceptance is the answer. I think accepting wherever they are at that moment and knowing that they have their own inner guidance. You know, we have a lot of pressure as parents to guide our children, and we feel a lot of responsibility in helping them to make the right choices for themselves. But it helped me a lot once I understood my kids have their own inner guidance from their own higher power. And it kind of took the pressure off me a little bit. And now I support that. And I say things like, well, what does your inner being tell you? And my kids tune in and they listen to themselves. And I think that that is the difference in parenting between what was done in the past and what can be now, is when you empower your child and let them know you already have the answer. You don't need anybody else. You just have to look within and trust it.
You're reminding me of one of my favorite quotes is, you know, you are loved, you are love, and everything you could possibly need already lives within you. I love that so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dr. Williams, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Of course, people can reach out to you via your Linktree, which is Linktree.com/ Dr. Williams podcast, where people can listen to your podcast on all of the platforms, as well as visit your website and you know, contact you as well. Is there anything else that you would like to, you know, tell the listeners to the Reconnect With Your podcast, With Your Teenager podcast, about how, you know, how they can navigate the world healthily as whole human beings, whether you're a parent or a teenager?
Yes. There was actually a question you asked me that I feel like I didn't answer, and I'm going to touch on that now. Okay. When you wanted to know how teens could help their friends and others. Well,
sure.
This goes for anybody. When you tend to you and your vibration, and you are the dominant vibration, you will literally change those around you in the best way. All you have to do is focus on your well-being and be it. And the others around you will rise up to the level that you are vibrating at. It is the best thing that you can do for yourself and everyone around you.
I love that. And again, you're now giving me Marianne Williamson vibes. So I'm here for it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Katie. Really appreciate your time. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in to listen to this podcast. If you want to find out more, again, it's linktree.com/ Dr. Williams podcast. If you're interested in learning more about empowerment through songwriting coaching, of course, you can always reach out to me, Emma G. Until next time, friends, be kind, be safe, spread love like it's going out of fashion, and don't forget to call your mother. See you later.
Bye.
Thought you knew it all, and everything was certain. Sitting high upon your throne, so comfortable, assertive. But chaos has a habit of testing who you are.
Yes.